I know you for mostly instrumental music. Is this your first oratorios work?
It's not my first oratorio. I think it's my third or fourth.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not quite sure. But it's certainly an oratorio which is based on thematic material, which is very, very dear to me.
So the Zohar is a text of Jewish mysticism, which truthfully, between you and me and the lamppost, very few Jews seem to come to read.
Including myself, the Zohar is essentially one of the pillars of the Jewish mystical tradition. There is a vibrant Jewish mystical tradition dating back from the Talmudic days. It encountered some rough waters when certain issues were hit in the Middle Ages, but it's been revived by Hasidism and just people being interested. Nonetheless, the Zohar is one of the main texts of this. The Zohar on its surface seems very poetic, but if someone just opens it up and read it, it's just poetry. It doesn't make much sense. When someone is fortunate to have an instructor to really give them the basics, the building blocks and preparatory steps and understanding, then the Zohar becomes an incredible, incredible eye-opening experience, really talking about the most fundamental questions of existence in Jewish thought.
Now, this is part text in Hebrew, part text in English, correct?
The vast majority is in English. Only the first four or five words are in Hebrew, a quotation from the Zohar. But the English are translations from Zohar and also Psalms and other texts.
So this is the beginning of a life of study in this for you, correct?
It is. I'm around nursery school level. The little that I found has just been absolutely inspiring and fascinating. Here, for example, the opening text from the Zohar speaks about Elijah the prophet starts by saying, God, you are one, but beyond all counting. So what does that mean? Isn't one part of counting? You have one, two, three, four, right? So what's trying to be expressed here in my very limited understanding from what's been told to me is that it's a one where there can be no other one. It's not a numerable one. It's an infinite one. It's a one where there can't be anything else. That just stopped me. And I said, gosh, this is amazing. How am I possibly going to do this to music? Something else. You are hidden from the most hidden. No thought can grasp you. Now, that's another fascinating statement. How could a thought not grasp anything, right? Thought is the highest. Right. I mean, people design buildings and computer programs and music through thought. So how could God not be grasped by thought? But that's the point. There can't be any thought that encompasses God because he's beyond that. So these are tremendously powerful, earth-shaking statements, and they just inspire me. That's why the first movement, Jonathan, is so it's so broad and powerful and striking, because I'm taking these really heavy concepts and putting them to music.
Well, and music is the ideal expression of this, because it is complete abstraction, and yet it's also concrete, right?
Exactly.
It's this incredible mixture of things. So I have to ask you about some of the titles. 22 letters, is this referring to gematria in some ways?
22 letters are the amount of Hebrew letters in one count of the alphabet. That text actually comes from Sefer Yetzirah, which is actually a mystical text even older than the Zohar. There are several ideas as who it was attributed to, but that's probably the most meditative, how could we say, ethereal text of the mystical tradition, where some pretty deep concepts in meditation are discussed. The idea here is that the Hebrew letters themselves are the building blocks for the actual creation. I'm not talking physically, but the spiritual potential and what's represented become the actual ABCs for everything that has, is, and will happen for the universe. So that's the idea of 22 letters. The chorus actually goes through the Aleph base, the Hebrew alphabet, literally from Aleph right to the end, and then intersperses it with some lines translated from Sefer Yetzirah.
Two movements are called Zohar. You talked a bit about the first one. What is the second one about, the penultimate movement of the piece?
The penultimate movement recaptures the energy of the first one. But whereas the first one ends arrestingly, just stops, so to speak, in the middle of a high point, the second one segues into a very calm and peaceful conclusion, which is basically the soprano over a choral, lush choral texture and very, very delicate strings, where she keeps repeating, no thought can grasp you, no thought can grasp you. When she finishes, the choir keeps repeating, grasp you, grasp you, grasp you. In the score, it says repeat 1,000 times. Yeah, Spano,
right.
He tried. But the idea is that I wasn't being literal there. The idea is that it's supposed to be a statement that keeps repeating and fading out because it does try to resemble the infinite as best we could.
So there's a movement here entitled Tiferes or Shepherd Boy. Tell me about this.
Yes. The idea of Tiferes is that it is the perfect meeting point between someone giving and someone receiving. That's another discussion. But the idea is that in between a giver and a receiver is Tiferes, is this balance. So what does this have to do with Shepherd Boy? Well, I have a friend, Robert Benedek, who wrote a poem based on a story in Jewish Hasidism about a boy who wanted to pray, but he knew nothing, didn't even know how to speak the Hebrew language. So he wanders into synagogues, he wanders into halls of study, he did not understand what anyone's saying. So essentially he goes out to a field and stands in the field and says, God, I don't know anything. I can't pray with words. I don't even know how to read, but I do know the alphabet. I do know the alphabet. So I'm going to say each letter and I'm just going to say it with all my heart. And he says, Aleph, Bass, Gimel. And I think the music at this point, when the baritone says, it's very strong, passionate. And then what happens, the letters float up above and the angels rearrange the letters into words, present it to God, and God says, so to speak, this is the prayer I've been waiting for. So the idea of Tiferes here is someone who had no voice, literally, right? That's like the receiver, but he said this from his heart. That's the giver, and the perfect balance is that he found his voice.
Any chance of a performance anywhere near here?
In fact, Zohar will be performed by the National Philharmonic right in Bethesda in March.
Jonathan Leshnoff, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and congratulations on the new recording.
Thank you so much, Jonathan.